Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth biblical study each week. And all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, the 29th day of August, 2019. And the scripture reading this week is Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11 through chapter 55, verse 5. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 69, and also John chapter 9, verses 1 through verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 42. This is to let you know that Warn Radio will not air next week. All shows will resume the week of September 9th through the 13th. The new moon is this Saturday, the August 31st, and trumpets is September 29th through the 30th. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on facebook.com/warnwatchmanis216, instagram.com/warnradio, twitter.com/warnradio, twitter.com/watchmanis216, and on linkedin.com/in/watchman. You can listen to all our shows on warn-usa.com and also on danaglynsmith.com. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. They'll do your soul good. They're always uplifting and helpful and encouraging. So be sure to read those and pass them on to your friends. And this week, we feature Christian Hope Makes Us Not Ashamed. Even as we live in a world where we are surrounded with division, hate, and war, there is hope. Yet in this world, many face hopelessness. America has everything going for it. It is still free. It is not embroiled in a civil war yet. People can still be free to drive, walk, play, and work pretty much as they want to. But our own hatred, our own desires, and our own selfishness has brought us to our knees. Also, offended, the world and the faith of Christ. Offended by the world, not have any faith, let alone the faith of Christ? Ask the world a faith question, and chances are they will really have no clue as to the real issues of Jesus Christ. You may hear the word, but it is diluted. Today we are in a swamp of unbelief, secularism, and filth. Yet it seems a strange thing to really discuss filth, to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Everything today is user-friendly, including Christianity. In America, I call this the sugar plum church and the fairy tale Jesus. So go to warn-usa.com and danaglynsmith.com to read the latest articles and be sure to pass them on. Tonight on Battle Lines, we have Righteous Branch, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 15. The Righteous Branch. The first 10 chapters of Isaiah are finished, yet we have from the beginning found pertinent prophecies wound in the warnings to Judah. Here we begin the interlude of the branch and his righteous reign. This is found in chapters 11 and 12. Correspondingly, Revelations 19:20, we find the kingdom of the greater son of David arising and being established. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
So, what's going on in your world?
Well, we are coming to the end. You know, I was looking at the trees. We're getting a few of them starting to turn. But,
you know,
we're not ready for cold weather, but it's been pretty chilly around here. But you need the cold weather because the cold weather brings out the natural sugars, the fructose in, for instance, all of our squash and our tomatoes and a lot of other products. The cold weather brings that out. So, you know, it's inevitable. If you want real good vegetables, you got to let things go the way they're meant to be.
Yep.
And so, at any rate, it's been it's been the shortest summer I've had on record, I think.
I think you're right. It went super fast.
Well, I can't believe it. You know, I mean, literally, I've said that before, but, you know, it just, there's so much to do. And so I wanted to do an update on the book. I've got the first portion of it done, and we're editing it so I can make it a final draft or close to it so I can hand it off to others to go through it. And then I've got to start on the other. So that means I've got 2/3 to go. But I couldn't work on it at all this summer, practically. It was just impossible. Between the garden and we had a lot of the things that were going on, I had no chance. But, you know, it's a good winter project. And this will probably be the last book like this. I have other books I want to write. I do not want to, you know, there are some reasons why, you know, originally I was going to do 4 books, but I can't do 4 books. Not now. And one day maybe I'll tell you why, but, you know, get through this. We're going to call it good, but I might even leave it open. I already got in trouble from the last book, because I left it open and they wanted a good conclusion. But, and I left it open on purpose, but at any rate, that's the way it is. And we're working on our new website, the Watchman Institute one, which is actually the Dana Glenn Smith one. But, and that's going to change too, because we've got to change it in a couple of things in the security portion of it and a lot of other things. We've got to intertwine a bunch of commerce stuff that we're working on that all costs money. So we'll do this as we have time. But we did that in order to be able to have a format where we can have private small group teachings and online seminars and various targeted things like that. We do have a whole other seminar website already. That also takes money to be able to get that rolling where we want it. So everything is money oriented.
Unfortunately.
Well, you know, I do the web work and everything, but there comes time that you got to pay for the hosting, you got to pay for all the security stuff, you got to pay for all the other things that go with it. So it's quite a process. You know, you just don't, you know, if we had all the money in the world, but, you know, we're not here for money. We're here to give the word out. And that's pretty much. And as the world rejects the word, we want to be one of those places that you can find the word of God preached. So at any rate,
that's right.
We're going to have to get going on this. So
okay. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay. The righteous branch. Now, that's pretty much what we had to call this, because we have finished the first 10 chapters, as Tower had read in this. And this is just a sweet portion of Scripture. And we're not going to get through it because I've got a lot of background info. Matter of fact, today's show is going to be all background. It's going to include scriptures from other part, talking about the Lord's kingdom. We're going to talk about the millennium. We're going to talk about when the lion lays down with the lamb. Oh, man, it brings tears to my eyes just talking about it, because we so need his kingdom. But people really do need the Lord. So we call this the interlude of the branch and his righteous reign. Now, that's not my title. I think that came off of the sword. I'm not sure, but at any rate, it could be my title, but I don't think so. But it is, there is a break in there. It's obvious when you read Isaiah, because the first 10 chapters being done, and then he breaks off into this. And of course, if you're Messianic and if you're a Gentile Christian and you're looking at this, you're going to see it as that speaking ahead. But it also has a lot of reference to Israel in, you know, getting back into the land after 70 years of captivity. But prophecy can have several fulfillments, not just one. And the prophets do speak of what we're going to be talking about. That's why we're quoting the prophets. And we're going to start in Micah 4. And this is 1 through 5. You know, and the way things are, I suppose you could debate whether or not it's the last days. But you wouldn't get very far. We've been in the last days, technically, since the time of the apostles, because Christ came in the last time. We are in the last of the last days, the very end. But even as I say that, it could go on for a while, because we're dealing with the timeline of God. And whenever he deems it, that's when it's going to come in. But as we see the blood being spilt of Christians, the persecution, and the technology and a lot of this stuff rolling forward, we can see, and I've written articles on this, how the very internet and the very digital age and the technology and the robotics and everything is going to lead people into the mark of the beast. So all of these things point to a very end of the end of days. At no other time have we been able to do it. At Warren Radio for over two decades, Tower and I have been working together closely, and we're very small. We make up Warren Radio, and we have a lot of friends around about us. And we've had a lot of them that's listened for a long time. But the bottom line of it is that we're here preaching the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah. So in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now see, the original intent when Israel was picked so long ago, and of course the blessing flowed out of Abraham, when God set forth one nation in the earth, like Israel, it was to be a place where you would have the flow of the teachings of God and his righteousness flow out. And for Israel, that really was established in its fullness for Israel anyway, was during the time of Solomon. And that's when the temple was so glorious and people came from all over the earth practically to come see it and talk to Solomon. Yet it was that very kingdom that was divided. That was the last time Israel was as one, and then it divided into two houses. And so it's been two houses ever since. Well, in the end, those two houses will come together. And during this study, we are going to talk about those two houses. So, as I said, this is all preliminary to what we're getting into. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Oh, this is so cool. Now, see, today as we speak, Israel, on our Instagram, we do connect on our Instagram with a lot of important ministries, important prophetic things. So we have Israel on there. We're following Israel. We're Israel, one portion of it, and mainly Netanyahu and the leadership. And then we're following the IDF. And the IDF released a special thing talking about how the forces are gathering along the border of Israel. Hezbollah has threatened to overrun Israel and come in and retake Jerusalem. This is how bad it's getting over there. And, you know, the thing of it is if America steps in this particular battle, Russia will enter in. So this is by no, you know, this is the way the nations are today. But see, the time we're talking about is the time of the Messiah. The enemies have already been overthrown. Now, see, Israel looks at it as a time. You know, many of them don't know of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, as we know him. And Scripture tells us, Paul talks about it in Romans 11, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 all point to it. That Israel is blinded, but there comes a day when the fullness of the Gentiles has ended that the blindness will go away. They will come to know the greater Son of David. They will come to know this Messiah. And so this is a time that Micah is speaking of, that's an amazing time. This is exactly what all of Israel was looking for. But see, the problem you got is that, you know, of course, the northern tribe, when it was split up, the northern tribe didn't have the temple. So they basically created their own God and their own thing and went their own way and got in trouble. Judah, however, had the temple, had the priests, had the prophets, you know, and it was connected to David and the promise that God made to David. And it finally fell and went into captivity for 7 years because they totally fell away from the Lord. And this is where, you know, when you're talking about the mountain of the house of the Lord, it wasn't the mountain of the house of the Lord in Israel. You know, it was a group of backslidden, fallen away Jews that refused to acknowledge the truth at the time. Now, they weren't all fallen away, but a majority of them were, including those in the temple. That's where most of the vileness was found, was in the temple, of course. That's where you're always going to find it. And that is the way it is, even for the Christian church today. You want to look for vileness, you want to look for perversion, look in the Church of God today in America. There's a lot of it in there. They refuse to listen. This is exactly what happened in the time of Israel. In their temple, they refused to listen. They served other gods. They did a lot of things. So they finally went into captivity. But when they came back and the second temple was built, they were retaught the law and retaught to keep it. And they had a better relationship with the Lord, of course. They learned their lesson. Nevertheless, that is not the fulfillment of what God intends. And in fact, we know the greater Son of David is coming back. And while Micah may not have known everything about it, he refers to this prophetically. We do know that in the New Testament, especially the Apostle John, who was given revelation, which is an amazing thing. If you think of him on the Isle of Patmos and he was given this dramatic vision, it would have been amazing to behold. I mean, how would you be able to ever forget what you had seen, let alone understand it all? And we know from Daniel that the visions that he got, he didn't understand them all. And when he asked again, the angel told him to shut it up. Shut up the prophecy until the time of the end. Well, we are at the time of the end, and we realize what Daniel was talking about, you know, when it says that men will run to and fro in the earth, and knowledge shall be increased. We are there. We've already fulfilled that. So this is how prophecy works. And then we get here, and it says, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is during the millennium. Now, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy. There's the one in a direct opposite of this one that's given as well, and that is that they are to beat their plowshares into swords and beat their pruning hooks into spears, and they were to go to war. And so that's the part of this prophecy, the other one, that tells you that goes into the final part of Armageddon. And even Israel right now is preparing for war. And if they didn't prepare for war, they would be totally destroyed. So this is really how prophecy works when we look at it. And verse 4, but they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of our God forever and ever. And, these are a couple of verses. One of my favorite ones, and I talk about this, about the millennium, because while we live and we work and we see society the way it is, you know, I look for the time of being, you know, under my vine and my fig tree. Well, I don't even have a vine and a fig tree. I never have, but I like figs and I like a good grape juice, except some of them are way too sweet. And I like to cook with wine, but I don't drink wine. But in the millennium, they will have perfect wine, and that'll be a good time to drink it. But at any rate, so this really shows us a fulfillment of this, as far as I'm concerned. And everyone will walk in the name of his God, everybody there. And see, the way they put it in English, you know, it makes it sound like there's a bunch of different kinds of gods there. Now, in the millennium, there will be people, when the Lord comes back, that are still going to be in the nations of men. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then the great white throne judgment will happen. So it is entirely possible that in the millennium there could be nations of people that haven't quite come to the Lord yet. I know that's hard to believe. And it's hard to understand. Now, unless you look at this, because there will be Gentiles there who has accepted the Lord. And then there's Jews who will have come to the Lord. And that's just a way of a personal way of the Jews saying, we'll walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. And they will also recognize his Son, who in Revelation, you know, he is the one, he calls himself the Almighty. So when we get to the millennium, he is coming as the Almighty. He's coming as the warrior king. David was the warrior king. Christ is coming as the warrior king. So all of this is background and related information of what Isaiah is getting into. Micah 5, 1 through 4 says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now these are all prophecies by Micah. Of course, he did speak some judgment, but see, this is what we're here for in this next one. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That's talking of the Messiah. That's talking of Yeshua. That's talking of Jesus. And that's one of the prophecies that when you get in the New Testament, the Gentiles know, well, Bethlehem Ephrathah. And then verse 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that which she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Now that's the Messiah. Now there is going to be a coming back again, a major return of the children of Israel, even more than there is now. And they are coming in droves back to Israel, even as we have said before. Jeremiah 23, 3 through 8, this is what Jeremiah says. And I'll gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them. I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now, see, he's been doing that already. And he even did that when Israel returned after the 70-year captivity. Now, not all of them went back into Israel, however, as we well know from history. And even when Israel was established as a kingdom, not all the Jews returned. But see, they do. They are going to return eventually. It's one of those things, because the law of God in their hearts is written. And although they try to ignore it, and even though they may have married into a Gentile, and that's what happened to a lot of them. They got mixed in with the Gentile races, and they're part Gentile and part Jew. And there's a lot of Jews that are like that today that have the Gentile blood in them. And a lot of that goes way, way back to the time when they were in captivity. Because that was, when you did take over a nation, one of the things that they did was intermingle the races to make the one less he might want to rebel. So they kind of diluted the stock, so to speak. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, of course, when we get into the New Testament, Paul talks about not all of Israel is Israel. He talks about spiritual Israel. He also talks about the saving of the Jews and being grafted in Romans 11 into the vine. Now, see, in the Old Testament portion, we see that Israel was the vine, and the vine brought forth sour grapes. The vineyard had been corrupted. But when we get into the New Testament, Paul uses the language of being grafted into the vine. As wild grapes, wild branch, we were grafted in, which we were. The Gentiles were wild. They are lawless. They're not like the Jews. They're total different characteristics, but God wanted to save them. And it would be. A lot of scriptures talk about the Gentiles and the Lord. We'll get into that. So Judah and Israel, these are the two tribes. They're going to be united, and they are going to come back. And this is his name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, it's interesting to note that the Gentiles are grafted into Israel, too. So there's a lot of truth in this scripture here. Of course, it's scripture. Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say the Lord liveth, which brought out. Now, this is very, very important. Brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is through Moses, okay? Now, listen to the next verse. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the nations, countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, understand this. It's very important because you have two times here. The other one is Israel coming out of Egypt by the hand of Moses and the power of God. The second one has yet to fully take place yet. This one is going to gather up all the rest of the seed of the house of Israel. Now, this is both houses, Ephraim, which is the northern tribes, the lost tribes of Israel, and Judah itself. And he's going to unite them together into one stick, one staff in his hand. He's going to unite them all, and they're going to go back. Now, of course, the Gentiles, when we look at the Gentiles being grafted in, and I might get into this a little later, actually, it was in Abraham, it said that all the nations of earth would be blessed. And, of course, the nations of earth are goyim, meaning Gentiles, in other words, pagans, unbelievers. That's what the nations are. There was always a difference between the Jews, the line of Abraham, and then the Jews. And by the time you get to Jacob, who later became Israel, that became the tribe of Israel then at that time and went forth. Now, within all of this, Ephraim, if you get into Joseph, which was actually one of the kids, children of one of the lines, and he married, you know, a Gentile, which happened to be the daughter of a pagan priest there. And his kids were Manasseh, the oldest, and Ephraim, the youngest. And Ephraim is the one that when Jacob did a blessing over the kids at the request of Joseph, you know, he said the blessings would go through Ephraim. And so the blessings included that blessing of the Gentiles. So we see the Gentile line being blessed through Ephraim. And that's why when you talk about a tribe where the Gentiles would be grafted in, that would be one. Although they can be grafted in anywhere, because in the new covenant, if we believe and receive what the Lord did, we're grafted in. So we see a little bit of this. And so let's move on to Jeremiah 33. But remember in that last verse, the thing that he tells you to remember is don't remember. He says it's not going to be the fact that God brought out the children of Israel by the hand of Moses, but it's going to be in the last days when they brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I had driven them. And they're going to dwell in their own land. Now, make no mistake. Every line of Ishmael, that's the other line. There's Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac is the Arabs. Ishmael is the Arabs, and Isaac is where the promise went through. And so Isaac, right now, in the form of all these Arabs, and of course you have Iran, which is Persia. You have a lot of these various ones now, but there's a lot of Arabs in there too that hate Israel, and they're going to try to drive Israel out, and there is going to be a battle, and there's going to be a lot of people killed over there, and Jerusalem is going to be partially taken, especially when we get to the end. About all of this, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. But see, the thing that we have now, before we can set the timeline, the two witnesses have to show up. And that'll be in the main part of the tribulation. That'll also be at a time when the beast will be there. He will rise up with his false prophet. So we're not there yet. So you know, if we're still all here and kicking around and I happen to see the beast and know he's the beast, I'll tell you. But he has to be revealed. There's a lot of people that can be antichrist. The world is antichrist. Obama had antichrist tendencies and he did antichrist things, but he wasn't the beast. Now, some people think he is, but see, you got to get this out of your head about Antichrist. Good grief. Your neighbor can be Antichrist. There's a lot of people in America that are Antichrist. There's people in the Christian church that are Antichrist. And even John warned about those who would deny the Lord who bought them, you know, purchased them with, by his blood. They would deny him. And he's talking about believers. And they also talked about the Antichrist coming out. They were came out of the church. And he said they were not of us. So make no mistake, there, you know, when we say Antichrist, that doesn't tell us anything. Antichrist, they're going to be there. We're not looking for the friggin' Antichrist. I can find them every day of the week, every hour of the week, everywhere. We're looking for a specific person who's going to come in, who will be revealed, and there will be no mistake about it. We will know it because we've been given signs. Now, let's go to... Now, this is a big one, and I don't know if I can really go through all this because this is a lot, but I wanted to include this in here. But I'm going to do this some anyway because I talk a lot about Romans 11. And the reason I talk about it is because there's so much talk about it. You know, I even hear Jews, you know, that kind of diss Israel. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, the Jews that are in Israel are not really the Jews. And a lot of that is just pure unmitigated baloney. They're liars. They don't even know what they're talking about. The ones that are in the land today, as we know Israel is, the main tribe that's there is Judah, and Judah has always been in the land. And even when they went into captivity, there were still some of the tribe of Judah left. Now, the tribe of Judah, when it was fully capable and running during the time of David and Solomon and the others, consisted of Benjamin and Judah, and it had the Levites. The Levites had no possession of land. They weren't given a lot of land like the others were given because their lot was the Lord. And they were taken care of. So within the land, there have always been Judah. Now, see, the lost tribes, a lot of them were scattered among the nations. And even after the 70-year time in Babylon, there was a bunch of them that, because of Cyrus being God's anointed and delivered the Jews, they actually wound up over in Persia, over in the Iran area, and even... the Ayatollah talked about the Jews being up there. So, like you said, we're not anti-Jewish. We're anti-Israel. So, at any rate, you know, number one here, the first thing Paul says is, I say then, has God cast away his people? And see, they were even saying that then. And one of the reasons they would say it during the apostles is because the apostles were all Jewish. The first church was Jewish. It wasn't Gentile. And, of course, the Jews saw what was happening, and they really got offended over this. And the Jews, some of the biggest persecutor of the Christian church, then became Jews. And you take a radicalized Jew, they can be as bad as a radicalized Ishmaelite or Arab. So he says, I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession of God's against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone that they seek my life. But he says, what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So the point is that there is a remnant of Israel at Paul's time that he writes this. Even so today, there is a remnant. Now, that doesn't mean Israel, in Israel today, is a theocracy. It's not a theocracy. people today are mad at it because they call it a democracy and not everybody is free. No, it's not that kind of a democracy. It is a democracy for the Jews. And there are Arabs living there, but that land is for the Jews. And when we talk about having a democracy, you know, if you allowed every Arab that was meant to come in there, the first thing they would do, they would swamp the place, take it over, start ruling it, throw the Jews out. That's exactly what they would do. That's why Israel, you know, pretty much has a policy. Unless you can prove you're a Jew, you're not going to be part of that. Now, the bottom line here is that there is a remnant. Now, modern Israel is a microcosm of what America is. There's a lot of things there. They've got all kinds of things that happen. All kinds of sins and stuff can be found in Israel. And, you know, they don't have a temple. They want to get a temple. They want to do their sacrifices again. They want to do a lot of things. But the Lord said, your house is left unto you desolate. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou which stonest the prophets. And he went on to say that the blood would be required of this generation from all of them. And, of course, I'm doing blood guilt on Fridays. So this is the situation. You know, Israel is a place, and there are Judah is there, and Benjamin. And now they've got some other tribes that are there now. And I believe they're really the tribes being gathered there. And they are not yet in this place as they were in the Old Testament, where you had this united front. They're not that at all. But they're there in the land. God didn't say they're going to be perfect in the land. He didn't say that they were, you know, going to be able to do everything in the land. No, they're not. They're going to be in the land. And they're going to have enemies, and those enemies are going to come after them and try to destroy them. But God isn't going to let that happen. But we do have a number. We do have a number as how this thing's going to go. And it is going to be very, very serious. Now, see, this is where the other half of Israel comes in. If we talk about the two pieces of the stick that had been broken. And that is Ephraim is going to come back. The northern tribes are going to come back from all over the world. Now, some of them are in the land and some of them never left. But one day they're going to be one. And Israel is driven. Every Jew over there, if they're a true Jew, they're driven by their heart. Make no mistake about it. Even the ones that don't understand what's going on, you know, they're blinded and they don't understand the Messiah already came. All this is part of the judgment that was laid down. And, you know, they have to come to know the Lord. And so, and David said in verse 9, let their table be made a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. This is what Paul is saying about the Jews. David said this. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. So this is what he says. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. For I speak to you Gentiles. Now he's speaking to the Gentiles, all the Gentile church now. Inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. In other words, try to provoke the Jews that hear him say this to jealousy and investigate and come to know the Lord. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the word, world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Now see, what he's saying here is the casting away of them, and this is what he says, that the fall of them meant riches for the Gentiles, because that's when grace came in and Christ, he went to the Jews first, and then he went to the Gentiles. He even appointed Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. And see, that all that is a result of the events that happened. And so grace came. But that grace went to the Gentile, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. That's the way it went. And so then Paul went to the Gentiles. So in here, so if the casting of away of them, the fall of the Jews, really meant the reconciling of the world of nations of Gentiles to come to know this God. And this, you know, we have the church all over the world now. Thank God that God decided to do that. And although one of the biggest places where you find Christians is in China, China is persecuting them. What shall be the receiving of them? So once Israel becomes knowledgeable and understands who the Messiah is, and they come back into the fold or grafted back in, he says, but life from the dead. Guess what? Life from the dead. We all got life from the dead when we came to know the Messiah. And as we live in this body, and even if we die, that dead body is going to lie in the ground because it's corrupted anyway. It's the body of death. Then guess what? You're going to be resurrected from the dead yourself. You're going to be given a new body. So he says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. See, we were grafted in. And we came to know God. And we didn't know any of the law. We didn't know all the promises. We were a bunch of friggin' pagan Gentiles that knew nothing. You know, we had worldly knowledge. Thank God. You can thank God for that. He says, boast not against the branches. And see, this is what a lot of churches have done. They tried to put in the thing that the Gentiles replace Israel. Well, I can see where they get it, but that's not true. That's false doctrine, and I don't even care if it's a doctor of theology that tells you that. I can tell you this for a fact. There are doctors of theology today that think they know absolutely everything and they don't know anything. These doctors of theology got their degree and they learned it from other men who didn't know the truth, who learned it from other men who didn't know the truth. I got news for you. Just because you know even all the languages, that doesn't mean you're going to know the correct interpretation of the Word of God. Good grief. You can go back to the time of Christ. You can get into the Sanhedrin and you can talk, you know, find the high priest who knew the original languages. And yet they didn't even know. And look at Paul the Apostle. He was the same way. He studied under Gamaliel. He knew the languages. Yet he didn't even recognize the Messiah. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of his Messiah doesn't come if you know every language on the face of this earth. It comes through the revelation of the Son of God put in you through the Spirit of God and the power of God, and you come unto him. That's how you come to know him. It's not by knowledge. It's not by a mere man giving you a certificate and telling you that you're a doctor of the law. Good grief. If you look for that for truth, you're going to be deceived every time. It is time for the church, it's time for Christians to start looking to the Messiah, looking to the Lord, keeping their minds and hearts on them, and getting into the Word of God, and getting into prayer, and knowing who this God is. That's where you need to be. Now, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. In other words, the children of Israel fell and they paid the penalty. They're still paying the penalty. But toward the Gentiles, it was grace and mercy. And he says, if you continue in this goodness, in other words, doing what he says, that's okay. Otherwise, you're going to be cut off too. He's telling that to the Gentile church. And he says, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. That's what the Jews have to be doing. They have to be grafted in again. They have to believe again, and they will. For if you were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, and this was contrary to the Gentiles, they didn't know anything about it, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted back? See, that's why if you've ever seen a Jew that didn't know the Messiah and then became a Christian, they're totally different. They are, matter of fact, some of the best believers I've ever seen, and joy and happiness you'll never see. Amazing believers. So at any rate, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, this is a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake. They are part of the election of God. Goes clear on back to Abraham and through the patriarchs. But they still don't know the Messiah. And they have to come back by faith. And as far as the gospel, they were always enemies for our sakes, probably to provoke us even further to where we should go, because God uses it that way. And blindness is going to happen until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, the fullness of the Gentiles is getting close, but it's not going to fully come in until you see the last great Gentile leader of the world, and that will be the beast, because he's going to go against Israel. And when he gets officially destroyed and the Messiah comes in and sets up his kingdom, that will be the official end of the fullness of the Gentiles. And the fullness of the Gentiles is not because, or not for all the Christians that are saved that are Gentiles. It's God's grace towards the Gentiles to give them time to repent. Now, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. That's why we pray for the salvation of Israel. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it says here, for God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. There's a few other verses, but I'm not going to read that. Now, see, this is the background I'm giving you for the next verses, because the next verses in Isaiah is going to be talking about a lot of things. And we're going to be leading off with a branch. We're in deeply prophetic areas. I'll tell you, Isaiah is such a beautiful book. And some of the best scriptures in the Gentile Christian church today, or a Messianic Christian church, are found in Isaiah. Just beautiful verses written through the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing thereof. So that was quite a bit there, and I knew it would take up a while, but these are important verses, and you can go back over them. Learn them for yourselves. You know, you can go back to Micah chapter 4, Micah chapter 5, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 33, Romans 15, and Romans 11. That isn't all of them. That's just some of the ones that I'm highlighting to bring you the background, because Yahshua is the branch. And thank God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, for our hope in Christ, and we do pray for the salvation of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the kingdom to come in. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, Yeshua. We look for your kingdom, Lord, but we do pray that people will repent. We pray that America will repent. We pray that Israel will repent. Father, bless your people when they hear this. Help them to understand. There's a lot to understand. But more importantly, fill them with your joy and hope in believing. And let them look for the coming that one day is going to break the sky of the Messiah, the Almighty, the greater Son of David, the warrior King David himself, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who is the Word and will put down all enemies. So, Father, bless your people. Be with them and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Tower. So we are
okay.
Now ready to start. You back?
Yes. Took me a while. I have to unmute everything. But boy, that was good. I like that. I'm thankful that the Lord made a way for the Gentiles. I'm glad the Jews rejected Jesus so we could come in.
Yeah. So am I.
And I pray, I hope they, yeah, I do hope they wake up. One day they will.
Yep, they will. They will. And, you know, so when we get in chapter 11, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, actually from chapter 11 all the way to chapter 12. We will be talking about a lot of this. There's a lot of other stuff in there, too. But, you know, these are things that we need to know. The people that throw out the Old Testament just, it boggles the mind why they do that.
Oh, I know.
But they don't preach, they preach.
It surely does.
Modern New Testament psychobabble. But in order to understand this God, you need to get a balance in the teaching. You need to get the fullness. Because the... Oh, we got to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God bless you for all you do. And we love you and we pray for you.
Yep, and thank you for listening, for stopping by. Tomorrow we've got another broadcast. Remember, next week we won't be here, but the week following we will. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.